Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. About 6 hours from here in southwest Colorado and Durango, there's the Amendment 62 personhood campaign at a local Catholic hospital protesting because there is an abortionist who's been granted privileges at that Catholic hospital. Fascinating story. We'll bring an update about that event to you tomorrow or on Monday. But first, in the news, of course, for months now, has been the Philadelphia case of the new Black Panther Party and the intimidation at a polling place of white voters and the shock when the Obama administration simply dropped the charges. There are so many accounts of racism and examples of reverse racism in our country, and what has fueled the continuing racism of the last century. Well, to talk about that, we have an author, Sharon Sebastian, with us. Sharon, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Oh, well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Sharon, the title of your book, which is available everywhere online, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the title is provocative if somebody is a liberal, for sure. It's Darwin's Racists. Wow, what a topic.
Thank you.
This is an issue of interest to our audience because we have talked about Darwinism almost once a week for 20 years on this program.
That is just excellent, and you're really doing a wonderful service for your listeners.
Well, thank you. So how about the racist aspect to Darwinism?
Well, Darwin, as you know, he left behind a legacy of pain, discrimination, and essentially mass murders of resulting from his book Origin of Species and his other book Descent of Man, where he took it upon himself, Bob, as you know, with his very limited knowledge, as just not a scientist but as a naturalist, to assess the value of different races, and he assigned whole classes of people to be inferior, subhuman, and possibly not even human species at all.
Well, he did that with the group that lived, the natives who lived in Tierra del Fuego.
Tierra del Fuego and the African Bushman. He specifically, to please, I believe, his anti-Christian father and his racist and atheist friends, who deemed themselves to be superior, elitist human beings, he really singled out people of color as well as the lower classes. Remember, Darwin did three major things. He targeted the lower classes, so there was class warfare, essentially, that sprung from Darwinism. He demeaned and devalued people of color, specifically blacks. And as you well know, he, through the theory of evolution, began the process of denying God as creator.
Well, he did, and there was especially no excuse. I mean, that entire thought process and that behavior is inexcusable. But in the case of the tribe that lived near the tip of Tierra del Fuego, he had one of their tribe members, I believe, as a shipmate for some weeks or months.
That's correct.
And he knew that this man was just like any other human being, just grew up in a different environment, different educational environment. Yet, when he got around to writing about the Fuegians, or however you'd pronounce it, he described them as barbarians, hardly human at all, when he knew that was not the case.
Well, you know, again, there was a man who, believe me when I tell you, Darwin put it in his own words, he denied the Christian faith. He followed in his grandfather's footsteps and in his father's footsteps. They were strongly anti-Christian, and Darwin, in his own writings, said, and I'm going to get back to the Fuegians, but Darwin said that basically, any religion that would deny non-believers access to heaven, that they would be eternally damned, it was a damnable doctrine and a damnable religion. So he denounced Christianity. Yet, when you have that kind of mindset, then I think you have an elitist attitude. You don't believe in God. When you don't believe in God, you do not have a conscience. The theory of evolution is a theory without conscience. When you do not have a conscience, you can look on others as less valued. You can demean them.
Because you set yourself up as
That's right.
God, and human beings are not good at being God.
No, they're not, Bob.
Right. And so, whereas the New Testament says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 26, that from one man God has made every nation, or from one blood,
exactly.
Actually, from one blood, all nations of men have been made by God to dwell on all the face of the earth. And so we know we are one family of human beings. And Darwinism, of course, promoted a racism that has been so destructive. And we've seen it worked out in public policy in countries since Darwin and even in the 20th century.
We're seeing it play its way out right now. And understand that the book, Darwin's Races, absolutely, through theology, history, and science, it will tell you when you read it, it will back up what we have, that we are one race, the human race, and that God created us all equal in his eyes, and we should be on our knees praying that we accept each other as God accepts us. So basically, understand, this is playing out in today's society.
Well,
now, there's a very negative impact from that theory without a conscience that went from the horrors of eugenics that bred basically state-imposed abortion to the life and death issues, the socialist policies coming out of Washington today. I mean, Darwin's theory of evolution has allowed mankind to not only not have that conscience, but to deny God as creator and to abandon godly principles. We're seeing it in today's government. Government is legislating God out of our society because government wants to become God. It's very Marxist. It's very Darwinian.
Yeah, Barack Obama, of course, comes from a Marxist elitist community in Chicago. Those are the folks he hung out with. And so it's not surprising that his policies are just inflamed with anti-Christian sentiment. For example, his aggressive support for abortion when he lied to the nation saying Obamacare would not fund abortion. Now, in Pennsylvania, we already have some of the first designated expenditures of Obamacare. One of the very first is a $160 million fund specifically targeting abortion in Pennsylvania. So,
well, Bob, you know, of course, the headlines are filled with those policies. They're aimed at breaking down the family. They're aimed at implementing abortions as really just another form of birth control. I mean,
right.
It's heartless. It devalues our unborn to a point that is just as dark-hearted as it can be. It promotes teaching children homosexual acts. Basically, this is all free gratis of Obama and basically handpicked officials. I mean, consider this. The very act of redistributing wealth that Obama really desires, and it goes against the 10th commandment of God that declares that we're not supposed to covet our neighbor's property or goods. I mean, literally, Obama's wealth distribution teaches covetousness to the masses, and that literally goes against the word of God and the instructions of God. Socialism is against God, and Marxism certainly is, because Marxism denies God. Socialism, according to Karl Marx, was just another form of communism. You know, the president claimed Christianity through that prism of black liberation theology in Chicago.
Right, Reverend
and he called
Wright.
It, you know, it's a politically infused doctrine, really, of social justice, if you get right down to it. And many call it just the faith of liberal activism. Well, I remember reading in Newsweek magazine that Obama said that he had found Christ. And then in the next paragraph, I think he said, it was very close to it, he said, "But I leave open that possibility that I'm entirely wrong." So, you know, I leave what Obama's faith is between him and our Creator, you know. But in this country, voters need to understand that, you know, religion may not be a factor in a presidential qualifications, but restraint against undermining our very faith, what this great nation was
right.
founded upon,
yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous.
Yeah, that is said well. And, of course, we Republicans often get duped because in the primaries, some of our candidates come out and they repent of adultery and they talk about their conversion and actually they live godless lives and they promote godless policies, including some of our biggest candidates promoting homosexual marriage and tax-funded abortions. And so we have a problem also. I say I'm a registered Republican, but there's a problem on both sides of the political fence here in America.
We have a crisis in political moral leadership in this country. We have had a great failing in our moral leadership, not only in politics, but, you know, you've seen it in some of our churches who are going along to get along with whatever is culturally popular. Mm-hmm. So we've got those two issues, I believe, certainly the leadership in our government on both sides of the issues. I've got tremendous problems with representatives who are willing to sell out the country, sell out the faith, sell out the family. We cannot tolerate that anymore. We
sell out marriage and sell out children.
Oh,
even.
Totally. It's unconscionable, and Americans, absolutely, Bob, you're waking them up. You're doing everything you can. We need to join together.
Thank you, Sharon. When the show is over, I don't know how we ended up on this topic, but in my mind, I'd like to send you a link to a pro-life profile of Mitt Romney, which documents his, even after his conversion to pro-life beliefs, apparently, when he funded late-term abortion with tax dollars, abortion on demand in Massachusetts through Romney Care. Just shocking things that are happening, even to people on what I'd call my side of the aisle. But back to Darwin, the liberals often have argued, they become angry when I've told them that there are racist elements clearly in Darwin's writings. And they get angry about that. But how about the very title of his book, On the Origin of Species?
Well, it's On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Like you said earlier, remember that Darwin, in his own writings, identified people who were of dark skin, particularly blacks. He, in his own writings, and all you have to do is read his books, I have clearly, that they are inferior, they are subhuman. These are his words, not mine, and possibly not even a human species at all. And he particularly thought the in Tierra del Fuego that those people were certainly maybe not even of the human species. And he was so wrong. They had a vocabulary. They even knew of a higher power. They respected family. They respected children. And Darwin, because of this elitist attitude, which we're seeing elitism permeate our society from the government today, we have the most elitist Marxist attitude with Darwinian underpinnings. Understand that Darwin influenced Karl Marx. Karl Marx sent Darwin a big thank you, many gifts. He sent him his book, Das Kapital, as thanking Darwin for giving him the mechanism to support his Communist Manifesto. I mean, Marx found that mechanism because he found the fit versus the unfit, natural selection, survival of the fittest. He was very excited about them because it gave him the mechanisms to control the masses and to remove God from society. And so for Karl Marx, the state, the government was to become God. That's why we should be very alarmed and why we're hearing Marxism being pointed at the Obama administration, because we're seeing the very same things happen. The fit versus the unfit in what will be rationed health care. We're seeing God being legislated out of society, all on a basically intellectual, dishonest, flawed science theory without a conscience that came from Charles Darwin. People who need to expound on racism and pursue racism and classism and warfare and want to be elitist really, really adhere to Charles Darwin.
Well, his book, Descent of Man, I'm sure you know the passage where he talks about the molar teeth in the different races of man and that they're able to determine which is the higher or civilized races by looking at the molar teeth of individuals. By the way, that's in footnote 47 of The Descent of Man.
Well, let me tell you that Charles Darwin was not a scientist. Charles Darwin was a naturalist. There was not the skill level of science back then that we have today. We have had over 100 million fossils cataloged in museums around the world over great periods of time. Not one of them shows a missing link, not one. Some of the foremost scientists and evolutionists that exist today literally say that we are not evolving. In my book, you'll read a great deal about a fellow named Stephen Jay Gould. He was a professor of geology and paleontology at Harvard.
Oh, yeah, I've read some of his books.
And you know,
ever
he said,
since Darwin, for example.
Well, yeah, he was a staunch Darwinian. And then he finally admitted, for all practical purposes, we are not evolving. There's no reason to think we're going to get bigger brains or smaller toes or whatever. We are what we are. That is from Stephen Gould. And Stephen Gould said the fossil record does not show gradual evolutionary changes.
Right.
And every paleontologist has known that.
It does not.
That's right.
And we get these quotes from the Darwinist paleontologists.
That's right. From the
proponents who say that there is no evidence that flowers have evolved, that you got vertebrate from invertebrate, and on and on and on.
Science today has disproven it. When you read that book, Darwin's Racist, and again, www.darwinsracist.com,
yeah,
you are going to see some of the top Darwinian scientists backing down, saying, well, there is a fellow who is Colin Powell, Dr. Colin Powell. He was a paleontologist at the British Museum of Natural History.
Yeah.
He said that he started wondering about why he was studying Darwinian theory and believing in it, because after 20 years of studying what he called this stuff, that there was not one thing that he knew about it. And he said it was really quite a shock. So he went around to these big seminars with all of his Darwinian evolutionist friends, and he put the question to them. He said, can you tell me anything that you know about evolution? Any one thing that is true? And he said he tried the question at the geology staff, at the Field Museum of Natural History.
What a story.
Yeah, and that and all he got was silence. And then he tried it on members of the Evolutionary Morphology Seminar at the University of Chicago, really prestigious body of evolutionists. And he said, what do you know that is true about evolution? And this is in my book. And he says, all I got was silence. And he said, finally, after a long time, eventually one person raised his hand and he said, I do know one thing. It ought not be taught in high school. Now, that's from Dr. Colin Powell,
yeah,
former senior paleontologist at the British Museum of Natural History.
Wow.
And he made this statement at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City.
Hmm. That is so very powerful, and the evidence is overwhelming. For example, when they will admit that we are not evolving today.
That's right.
Well,
we never evolved.
But they say, well, evolution happens so slowly you can't see it. But, Sharon, scientists are not observing one species. They're observing over a million species around the world, so that every year that passes, there's actually a million years worth of evolutionary opportunity. Because if evolution does happen to insects or germs or molds or fungus or anything.
Bob, read the book. You will find that indeed in the book I cover that extensively, that even down to the fruit fly who
you're
has
good,
like,
Sharon, you're good.
Know, really. And
yeah, the fruit fly. Tell me about the fruit fly. Well, and the book is Darwin's Racist.
Yes, Darwin's Racist, or
www.darwinsracist.com,
and it's Darwin's Racist, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, Sharon Sebastian, and Raymond G. Bolin. Dr. Bolin is a scientist that I had write the book with me.
Yes.
So in any case, it's important that you know that there have been no evolutionary changes. There, in the book, you will read about the Cambrian explosion,
yeah,
when during a period of time on Earth suddenly exploded into the Earth strata. Almost every form of life, phyla, they call it P-H-Y-L-A, it existed, and the scientists who are Darwinian and evolutionists are absolutely dismayed at this. Those bloated into existence almost simultaneously. This is absolute scientific fact. It is documented, and every scientist on Earth knows about it, and they study it, and there's no explanation how these forms came into existence in the Earth during that time period and have not changed until today. They're in the same form as like the little trilobite. It's called a trilobite.
Yeah.
It exploded into existence back then, and it's in the same exact physical form today.
Well, Sharon Sebastian, when we at my family, we watched a new DVD out, Darwin's Dilemma, about the Cambrian explosion.
I certainly know it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what you're talking about.
Of course.
And one of our dear pro-life friends here in Denver has his own trilobite collection.
Oh.
he has about 100 of them, Alan Radke.
Oh, yeah.
And the largest is really big. It's sort of scary.
Uh-huh.
So we looked at his fossils. Then we watched Darwin's Dilemma by Illustra Media.
Yes, I know those people.
Yeah, they do great videos.
I know them well. I consider them friends.
Yeah, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, The Privileged Planet, and now mm-hmm. Darwin's Dilemma, mm-hmm. which we happen to sell this DVD here at our website, kgov.com.
Great.
But the truth is there is a trend for decades that the paleontologists are finding fossils lower and lower and lower in the so-called geologic strata,
mm-hmm.
and they are constantly revising downward when they find birds and advanced birds that are earlier than the fossils they thought were transitions to birds.
You know, God must have a sense of humor, all of these people.
Yeah.
as suggesting that they know better than he. And, of course, the fact of the matter is God is creator, and he is a sovereign God, and that means that not only is he creator, but he did not abandon humankind and go off and let it evolve by itself. So if you read the Bible and you believe that God is a sovereign God, that is the majority of the Bible, New and Old Testament, and if you discount that he is a sovereign creator, then you may as well put the Bible down and go call yourself some other faith.
Okay, we got the fruit fly, and then I want to ask you about Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton, but
sure.
You mentioned the fruit fly.
Well, the fruit, they tortured this poor little fruit fly in the lab for years and years and years, and they tried to make it evolve.
To mutate the thing.
To mutate the poor thing, you know? And basically, everything that they could do in the lab, the fruit fly has like an 11-day life cycle or generation cycle.
So you could simulate thousands
of
generations, in which they did in decades of research.
Yes, exactly. And in at no time, they either ended up like with a deformed fruit fly or basically a dead fruit fly.
Yeah. You don't end up with a better fruit fly.
You do not have a fruit fly.
You could
evolving.
Mutate them. You could expose them to radiation, whatever, mutate them, and you might have a different fruit fly, but you don't have a better, for example, they're not going to develop echolocation.
Look, Bob, DNA prevents, and this is the latest in scientific findings, our DNA of everything on the earth, whether it's a plant, a fruit fly, or a human being, our DNA is locked into a code. It does not allow anything or anyone to evolve outside of that.
Sure.
They just came out with a Science magazine, I believe it was, came out in October, saying that indeed, when they dug deep into the DNA code, they found that there was a little gene, a protein, basically, that actually seemingly prohibited evolving or changing.
Well, sure, there are nanobots, robots, that go through the DNA code in all of our cells, and they look for errors, and they repair them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so extraordinary how these little tiny biological robots can do this. I mean, it's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've seen the DVDs that you were just discussing. There is more in a human cell. There's a universe within one singular human cell, and that is God's creation. Science cannot duplicate the spark of life. They have tried, the evolutionists, the Darwinians, they've tried to do everything. They can torture a species and maim it, and they can deform it, but they cannot ever create the actual spark of bringing life. They can combine a dead tissue with living tissue, which only, again, deforms, you know, and they can call it whatever they want to call it, but they have not created life.
And,
you know, it's the same as cloning. You've got to have living material to clone.
We're speaking to Sharon Sebastian, co-author of Darwin's Racist. Sharon, real quick before Darwin's cousin, have you heard about the soft tissue T-Rex find?
I did hear about it, and I must say that I'm not up to great detail.
All right. Well, there's a latest development, because it's been in National Geographic, Nature, Science, all over the journals, that they now find soft tissue in dinosaur fossils. Mm-hmm. Then Harvard and North Carolina University, they went out, and last summer they found it in a hadrosaur, which is a duck-billed dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Now the latest, it's just in all the journals right now. They said, well, let's look at our Archaeopteryx fossil. And lo and behold, they found original biological material in Archaeopteryx, which they claim is 160 million years old. So their entire worldview is crumbling. It's fascinating to watch, because it's scientific discoveries that are destroying their own godless worldview.
Well, I can tell you that God set the laws of science and biology
in motion when he created it.
It is God's science, and more science than you know. Even Albert Einstein, and we cover all this in the book, said that he wanted to know, and this is Einstein, an agnostic at best, wanted to know how God, quote-unquote, created this world. He said anything else is here nor there. He doesn't care. What he most was driven by, and what most of our good scientists are driven by, is that they're delving into God's creation, and it motivates them to get closer to their Lord.
Wow. Thinking God's thoughts after him, as Johann Kepler put it.
There it is.
The discovery of our planetary laws of motion. Okay, so Francis Galton.
Uh-huh.
He had a major role to play in the...
Oh, huge.
In the eugenics that became national policy in Germany.
Well, keep in mind that the premise that came out, you know, of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, it espoused in his book in 1859 on Origin of Species, that we as humans were evolving, remember, at different rates, making some of us superior, the rest of us inferior.
Yeah.
Well, in Descent of Man again, Darwin really got emboldened because he got some good reception for his book. He picked on people of color in the lower classes, but particularly people of color, subspecies, subhuman, that sort of thing. Well, building on Darwin's theory was this wonderful, I'm being facetious here, first cousin of his called Francis Galton.
And we have 1 minute left, Sharon.
Well,
go ahead.
He came up with this damning concept that he called eugenics. Eugenics, it means good birth, and Galton wanted to eliminate out of society's gene pool inferior genes from people he considered undesirable,
yeah,
such as the poor, people of,
yeah,
color, disabled. It was an elitist and racist attitude,
yeah,
and believe it or not, with the fit and the unfit being pitted against each other for health care today, Galton and Sanger and Darwin, mm, and Marx live on.
There's a new movie coming out, Sharon Sebastian, called Alleged, about the Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee.
Yes, I know about that.
They show the book that the creationist wanted to ban. It showed blacks at the bottom, right above apes.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It was utterly racist, and the Christians were saying this is wrong, God made us, and it was the liberals, the ACLU, the evolutionists that mocked the Christians. This movie is going to be great. It's alledgedthemovie.com.
Christians consider racism a blasphemy against their Lord. We Christians are not racist. It would be a blasphemy against their God.
Yeah, because we're all created in his image and likeness.
Right you are.
Thank you, Sharon Sebastian.
Thank you, Bob.
What a great interview. And the book is Darwin's Racist. Darwin's Racist. The website is darwinsracists.com. And you're going to love finding out more about Sharon Sebastian. Our website is kgov.com. May God bless you.